Well, I'm super, super excited about this series. I have been wanting to, for us as a congregation, to dive into the fruits of the Spirit for a while, and finally Joshua and Jason listened to me. So I'm thankful, finally. Oh, Jason's not even in here. Where is he? That's mostly Jason's listening to me. But I just love this. I remember as a kid having really fond memories of, you know, Sunday school lessons about the fruit of the Spirit and whatnot. So as we were trying to decide who talks about which fruit, which characteristic of Jesus, we thought, should we talk about ones that we really rock at and just really nail and just can share our abundance of wisdom? Or should we talk about the ones that we need Jesus so bad and we're not that great at? So as this series develops, I'll let you decide where we landed. Joshua did love last week, so that's a pretty good hint, I think. right? I think you do a great job. I'm sorry. I know, I'm sorry. That sounded like I was dissing you. No, you love very, very well. So, yes, right? Yes, he does. Yes, he loves very well. I don't think you would ever have a conversation and walk away from it with him and feeling like he didn't love you. Okay, so today I get to talk about joy, and what does cultivating joy as a lifestyle look like? When I was younger, I used to think, oh, well, joy is for people that have kind of an easy life. You know, tons of money, they don't have to worry about money, their kids are really good, things just come really easy for them. Because joy often comes naturally when things are easy, right? But let's be honest, we're humans, we're in this world, and life isn't always easy. You know, there's seasons of it. There's seasons where things flow better and it's easy to be joyful, like your wedding day, right? Ryan and Haley were definitely joyful on their wedding day. But when you start having that same fight every month about money and who spent what, and those are times that are hard to be joyful. When the kids don't stop telling you Pokemon details, and they will not stop talking, or Minecraft video games. Serenity Now. I don't think I've ever experienced joy when kids are telling me that minutia of a video game. Kill me now. I cannot be in joy there, right? Ugh. But those are the times that we have to work at joy. Those are the times where it's like, all right, Jesus, I need you to meet me here. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Paul's telling us always. That means even on those days where things aren't that easy. He was in jail unjustly, but yet he was singing and worshiping. Clearly, he was choosing to be joyful, to choose joy. I'm guessing, I haven't been in prison, but I'm guessing it's not a place where joy is just exuding and flowing out of you. You know, it may be for some weirdos, but he was making a choice. He was making a choice. So being naturally joyful is not something that just comes easy for me. There's definitely other fruits that come a lot easier, but this is something that isn't a default setting, like it is for Joshua. No, you're 2 for 2. Good job. You got this. But the fact that it's something I get to choose is really good news, right? Like, I don't, just because my personality is a little bit more serious and maybe sullen, I don't have to miss out on the benefits of joy. That's really good news. Proverbs 17 says, a cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone tired. Well, if it was up to Janelle, my natural way, I would always be bone tired because I'm just not like happy, bubbly all of the time. But great news, those of us that are wired that way, we still get to choose joy and we still get the benefits of joy as we cultivate it in our life. Excuse me. Paul, when he was choosing joy, we don't know what his natural disposition was. Maybe he was like me and a little bit more serious and had to work at joy. Or maybe he was super bubbly. I don't know. But we do know his situation. We do know he was in prison. His surroundings were awful. But he keeps telling us, choose joy. I say it again, choose joy. As a Christ follower, joy is something that's supposed to be like a hallmark, like something over our life where he's, like, we're known for it, being people of joy. When I started thinking about that this week, I'm like, oh, yikes. That is not great for me. I was thinking about a couple of weeks ago, I was at a bank here in Junction City making a deposit for a church. It said it right on the deposit slip. And that bank teller did not know I was a Christ follower by my interaction with him. He was super irritating to me. He was like changing rules and whatever. I don't need to make it an excuse. But I was not joyful. I was kind of a jerk. So last night I was thinking about this and convicted, like, oh, I need to go apologize to him. But Jesus tells us, Paul's telling us, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Always doesn't really give us a choice or an option with the rude bank tellers or whatever. But he's saying, do it. You guys, do it. Do it every day. Do it always. He's instructing us to do it when things are great and when we don't feel like it. So I want to invite my friend Shannon and Pastor Jason up. When we were thinking about people to share some testimonies about each of the fruit, I was thinking about joy. I'm like, well, duh, this is the no-brainer, Shannon. She is naturally one of the most joyful people that I know. And I'm super amazed and in awe of how she rolls. And Jason and I got together with her on Friday, and she's got some really good nuggets to share. So I want to encourage you guys, lean in to what she has to say, because there are some really, really good things. So thank you, Shannon.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Pokemon. So yeah. Just come forward.
I can actually do that.
She's well-versed. Step forward here. Okay. Yeah. Shannon's great. We met you, what, 10, 12 years ago, something like that? Is that right?
12 years ago.
So yes. 12 years ago, you came here, you kind of ended up in Junction City in this, an unusual way, and then you ended up right here in Jeff and Debbie's house, and you met Jesus here. Mm-hmm. And when we saw you, you were like so pumped up. It's like so, you were amped, like you were excited and everything was new. Yes. Is that you?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. That's definitely a season of life where it is the most effortless and easy when I first came to God. So that was incredible, radically saved by God here in Oregon. And yeah, and so that has felt, that's one side of it, you know, where it's just, I don't ever have to think about choosing joy. It's when I think back on that season or even just my life in general. I feel like I was really, yeah, God just is there. That's no choice to think about. But I've been in a season recently, just some challenges and life happens, and it's felt a bit harder, and I've felt like I've been missing that joy. And so even for me as someone where joy comes very naturally, I actually had to really pause and think and reflect and try to think of how to choose joy, which is crazy because it is something that's a part of who I am. But even I still had to do that. So. Yeah.
Because there's a sense, I think a lot of times we just equate joy with like a feeling of happiness, but it is more than that, isn't it? Like there is this sense of you have to lean into this thing. You have to really choose this thing.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Even for someone who is more naturally, like, and that really is true. There are some of us that are just more naturally happy and have a happier disposition. So even if that's you, you're still going to hit a place in life when you have to choose it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was hard at first. I didn't recognize it really until this moment in kind of preparing for this. And that's when I really realized the missing piece. And I feel like God shared some really cool things with me about what it's like to walk in joy when you have to be intentional about it.
So you had three things that you had sort of come to here. So let's go. What's that first thing?
Yeah, so so thankfulness is one thing, and that sounds like maybe the most basic, just at face value, you know, being thankful, of course, but what God was really showing me about that, he actually recalled a memory, and so I was going for a walk in a moment where I was pretty regular. I was not, like, oozy of joy. I wasn't, like, sad.
Oozy of joy. I love you're really oozy of joy today.
It was just a regular, even keel day. And I was walking, and I saw the word love. Like, kids were playing with sidewalk chalk, you know, or they had. No kid was there. But I saw the word love with amongst other drawings. And I was just like, oh, God, you love me. Like, it was a reminder for me that he loved me, and I needed to see that. I didn't even know I needed to see that. And I went from regular to, like, the oozy joy. And I was like, oh, my God, you love me and everything is great and thank you. And so that kind of thankfulness, like thankfulness in the moment, I think is really even further, because being thankful, like at the end of our day, you know, a lot of times at dinner time, the kids and I pray about what we're thankful for and what God did that day. And that's awesome to reflect back. But this was like thankfulness in the moment, I think, gives you that joy. So creating a habit of doing that all the time, you're getting some good dopamine hits of joy all the time if you can do that in the moment, recognizing what God is doing for you all day, every day.
Love that.
Yeah.
So thankfulness, first one.
Yeah.
Second one was?
Second one is reviving testimonies. So, yeah. So...
you keep stepping back.
I know, I'm sorry. Reviving testimonies was one where I felt like God was saying, so there's something awesome. Again, like reflecting or reminding yourself of testimonies is awesome and so necessary. And there's times where going that step further and speaking them, it is again a way to really produce joy like right away. So when you speak it, when you share good news and you say it to someone, it's really that you get to experience their reaction and you get to relive it. So for me, I've got like my big testimony of like being saved, which is amazing. And then just thousands of small little moments and things that God does, has done for me. And looking, like being intentional to look for opportunities to just share that with someone instead of just thinking it or reminding yourself about those awesome things, speak it and say it. And experience the reaction that they're experiencing. I mean, that's joy right there, because you're sharing it. They're feeling the goodness of God. You're reliving the goodness of God. And it's that constant joyful reminder continually happening. If you can, again, get in the habit of, like, continually doing that.
Yeah, I love that, because you see that, and you're like, oh, yeah, that really was awesome, wasn't it? Yeah, mm-hmm. That really was awesome. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And your third one.
Yeah, the last thing that God, I feel like, gave me was be curious. And this one's slightly different in that, you know, for thankfulness and for reviving testimonies, I think that those are, he was reminding me of things that have produced joy for me. And for being curious, it was more that he was reminding me of something that really stripped away and depleted my joy. So kind of like, yeah, the opposite. But still, so being curious for me felt like, instead of trying to have it all figured out, instead of trying to predict the outcome, this is particularly true, I think, in hard situations, challenging seasons, when you're wanting to be on the other side of something already and you wish it would just hurry up, you could be robbing yourself of so much joy throughout that. And so when you can be curious and when you can not try to limit God by trying to predict what the outcome's going to be, a lot of times that's a joy stripper. If I'm saying, okay, my logic and my reason and the people around me are telling me that this outcome is gonna end this way or this way, it's the doom and gloom. It's like, that's doomy and gloomy. It's lack of hope. And it's really limiting God. It's not being curious about how big and vast he is and how much he can do. And isn't it true that God often doesn't like to end things like that the way that we thought? It's always something that we didn't think of, at least in my case. Like, it's often a solution that I never even thought of. And thank goodness, because that makes it all the more wonderful. But so I think that is what being curious means. Not limiting God, not being a know-it-all, not trying to predict outcomes, but just being open. So.
Yeah, I thought that was a really profound one. And the more I think about it, the more I think, isn't anxiety so often just like replaying in your head all the different scenarios that are going to lead to disaster?
Yeah.
It's just sort of like, huh, well, man, I don't, oh, nope, nope, nope. And then when you get caught sort of in that loop, there is no way out. And I love that thought of be curious. How could God turn this into something good?
And it's like that fine line of being curious, but not trying to hyper-focus on all, like, just letting it be, end there. be curious. God, how can you end this? You're going to. I know you will. I'm not going to try to limit it by saying this is, oh, you could do this, or you could do this, or you could do this, or maybe you won't do any of those things, and it's going to be bad. You know, so just not even going that extra step, but kind of ending it there at being curious. So
I love that. Isn't that wonderful? It's like working against fatalism. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So good. You were seeing a way that all of these are tied together. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I think that obviously when you're trying to get joy, when you're trying to walk in joy, you think, okay, well, have God at the center of that. And that sounds like a believer thing to say, a Bible thing, a Christian thing, you know, but it's not as tangible or applicable to just say like, okay, I know I'm supposed to do that. I know that I'm supposed to be having God at the center, and then all of these things I would have the joy. But for each of these things, I feel like, so being thankful obviously brings it right back to putting God at the center. If you're being thankful in moments throughout your day and making it a habit. Same thing with reviving testimonies. You're speaking the words from your lips. You're experiencing someone else feeling excited about God. That's putting God right in the center of it. And so is being curious. Like, you're putting God's amazing limitlessness in the center of it. And so I feel like when he was giving me these nuggets, which he very much gave to me because I desperately needed them. Like, I was really struggling to find the joy of the Lord that I know is available to us. And it's like, so joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit, and fruits of the Spirit are supposed to be evidence of our time with God, of our closeness with God. And so the times that they're easy, and then the times that you have to choose, but it's really just keeping God at the center. And hopefully those three things could be kind of an applicable way, to kind of boost that joy up and walk in it more.
That's so good. So practicing Thanksgiving, remembering testimonies and retelling testimonies, and being curious.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Isn't that good, guys?
Yeah. Those are the nuggets.
Shannon, I wonder if you could just pray for us in this department that we could get a piece of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's pray. God, I want to pray just that. We just want to invite you and how big you are and how grand you are and how we want you at the center of everything. And I pray that you would highlight opportunities for all of us. You know, we are craving that joy. We are wanting that joy. And I pray that you will highlight opportunities where we can share our testimonies. And pray for testimonies. If you're like, man, I don't, you know, I need a, God, give me a fresh one. Give me a new testimony. So I just pray for that also, just the testimonies, being aware of all the things God is doing for us all the time. And I pray for a heart of thankfulness. And God, please help us create a habit of thankfulness and a habit of sharing testimonies and sharing that good news. And yeah, above all, God, I really want to pray just for our hearts to be curious and for us to not ever try to limit you or predict you, but that we can just go with the joy through the season as we're processing even those hard things, that you will be present and that you will be there with us and that we can, in fact, experience that joy. Even in the midst of hard. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Shannon, thank you. Isn't that so good? Super proud of her, huh, Debbie? Oh, so proud of you, Shannon. I was thinking the last couple of days about, I don't know, a year or two ago, sitting in Shannon's living room, and she was in a really hard season, and the tears were just streaming. But even in that impossibly hard moment, she was just walking in Jesus' joy, and I'm just super, super grateful for that in you, Shannon, so thank you. So I was going a little bit of a different direction with this before Shannon, before we met with Shannon, and then once she started talking, I'm like, oh, that's so good. So I'm just going to riff off things that she has shared and just tell you my take on some of them. So the verse of the day is Philippians 4:8. Can we read this together? Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do your best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best. Not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. So good, isn't it? So what that says to me is, let's watch the news. Let's get on social media, have some debates, some arguments. Just keep drilling in why you're right and they're wrong, because that's super effective. Be grumpy and rude to the bank tellers, the waitresses, the people that are serving you. Debate politics with everyone, every day, all the time, particularly on social media, right? That's walking out this Philippians 4:8, right? By the way, you guys, stop that. Stop that nonsense. All of you. Telling myself that too. Stop that. So something that in my life that I've done to cultivate joy, because remember I said I'm not naturally, this doesn't just flow out of me, is what Shannon said, and that's practicing gratitude. Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 107:1, oh, thank God, he's so good. His love never runs out. Isn't that so good? So in our house, Dan and I have a list on our fridge where we just write down things that we're thankful for. And it's taken practice. Like, it's been up there for a number of years. In the first few years, it was kind of slow. And then now, we're pretty good at that. And just like, oh, yeah, especially when you're in that maybe darker, more serious mindset. Write down those things. Write those things on to cultivate that habit, to cultivate that thankfulness. I looked at it this morning, and the very last thing on there was heat pump. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for air conditioning. But I just want to do some examples and tell you some things that I'm thankful for in my life. In 2020, I started meeting with a group of 20-somethings, and we have met every week for 4 years. Next Sunday is 4 years. And I'm telling you guys, it is the best, one of the highlights of my week every week, probably almost every week. These women came, I didn't know what I was doing, but I'm like, let's gather and just sort of start doing the stuff of life. They keep showing up. I mean, think about something that you come to every week and you hardly ever miss. That's a big deal, right? They're doing the work. They're creating community. They're there for the baby showers, celebrating the engagements, the birthdays, the weddings. They're creating community. They're loving each other well. And it's so life-giving for me. So grateful for that. Another thing that I'm thankful for is Pastor Joshua. When he first started working here, I had worked here for a number of years, and we weren't really sure what we thought about each other. That's fair, right? Yeah, that's fair. And we had breakthrough in that, obviously, because it's been a long time that we've worked together. But what I'm thankful for is that he saw something in me that he knew was worth investing in and giving time and energy into, even though we probably were still maybe a little bit unsure of each other. He was willing to be patient with me and allow me to work through my stuff. And he really called me up to be a better person, and he still does that. I mean, even today, he said something to me. I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to do better with that. And I'll tell you, I would not be up here today if it wasn't for him and his efforts in championing me and just making me better, a better human, better at expressing joy. And I'm just super, super grateful for that. Another thing that I'm thankful for is our eldership at this church. You know, we've been hearing a rash of pastors and church leaders that are just doing some stupid stuff. And I'm really thankful for the strong elder board that we have. Very, very strong, opinionated people, and it's so good. And it's so good. And I'm just really thankful for the very diverse perspectives. We're very, very different from each other, and there's strength in that diversity, and I just love that, and I'm so grateful for that pack of weirdos. So the other thing that Shannon said that we try to do also in this house is sharing testimonies. And scriptures that I want to read is Matthew 5:14-16. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers and you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you up there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Isn't that so good? Like, we need to be sharing our good news. We are the city on a hill to shine. 1 Peter 3, through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention in adoration before Christ, your master. Be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are, and always with the utmost courtesy. So he wants us to share the good news. He's not a secret to be kept. I love that. I really love that. Remembering what he has done for us in the past is a way of finding joy in our current circumstances. So I'm going to tell you a few testimonies. A little while back, we had a member of this congregation, and they, I kind of found out through the grapevine that they weren't going to be coming anymore. And, oh, this is almost embarrassing. My mind instantly went to the amount of money that they give each month. I feel kind of dumb saying that. But it was a substantial sum of money, and I'm just like, what the heck are we going to do? And I was, you know, my mind is just spiraling, like, okay, well, if we cut this and if we make this adjustment in spending, then maybe we'll be okay without that sum of money. Because it was enough that it, you know, potentially could make a difference. So I was, you know, spiraling, and I felt like the Holy Spirit just stopped me in my tracks and said, I want you to go right now. I happen to be here in the building, and look at what the income is for this month. It was the last day of the month. And I'm like, oh, I'm busy. I'm doing stuff. And he's like, just go do that. So I went, and I opened up the program and the file. And where we were at, being the last day of the month, we were the amount that they give over plus $200. So it wasn't just the amount that they gave, because they had given that month. But it was just like the Lord is saying, look, I have that amount extra plus $200. Like, I've got this. I've got this, Janelle. And so those times where I'm like, oh, stressing about money or whatever, I'm like, nope, he did that. He did that. That Wednesday night when he reminded me of his faithfulness and his provision, he did that for me and for us. Another one, I was getting prayer at a meeting for chronic headaches. That's something that I have struggled with a lot in my life. And they finished praying and nothing really happened. But in that prayer time, the Lord healed my back. I wasn't even thinking about the back pain that I had and the different things that went along with it. But in spite of me and what I was asking and believing for, he healed my back. And to this day, that particular issue I've never had again. And this was, you know, 15-ish years ago. So that was super encouraging. This one, I have a person in my life that has taken some steps away from Jesus. And we're together fairly often. And, sorry. And anyway, so it's been just like we, you know, it's not a breach in a relationship, but if like Jesus is the center of my life and it's not for them, it's, you know, it's a little bit odd and can be clunky, but I'm just like, nope, we're going to walk this through with them and just trust that God's doing something. And very recently, they told me, yeah, I started praying again. And then started to tell me about the prayers that God had answered for them in just like the last 3 days. And it was a lot. And it was super impactful. And I'm just like, oh, Lord, those times where you're praying for your kids or your family or people that you love and they're just not where you want them to be with Jesus. I'm like, oh, but this young person started praying again. 6 months ago, I would have said, there is no way. But they did it. They started praying again. And God is answering those prayers and bringing that encouragement, bringing that hope that he is answering and moving in their hearts. Telling these testimonies encourages you. It encourages me. Hearing you encourages me. Hearing me tell you is like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. How quickly we forget the things that God does and the prayers that he answered. The third one is recognizing how big God is and how he's bigger than all of these circumstances, even things in my life. Jeremiah 32:17, Sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing. Thank you, God. Jeremiah 33:3, Call to me and I will answer you. I'll tell you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. The comfort and assurance in that scripture is so good, isn't it? So good. I feel like this is part of what Shannon was talking about, is that curiosity, is things I can't figure out on my own, things that my natural mind wants to solve. And if we take the approach that Shannon recommended of, all right, Jesus, my track record with you is that you will come through. In my natural mind, I don't know. I don't know how to figure this out, but I'm going to stay curious. And I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust that you're good. I'm going to trust that you've come through. About a week and a half ago, our family found out that my brother is dying. And I haven't been there before. I haven't lost a sibling. And so when he called me and he told me what the doctor said, so my mind is like, okay, so if we do this and this, and I'll get this doctor involved. And again, it was just like, no. Obviously, I cannot keep my brother alive. That's, silly. And taking that step back to just say, all right, Jesus, I haven't been here before. I don't know how we'll get through this, but I know you're with me. I know you're here. I know you're with him in this. I know you're with my family. I know you're with me. You'll bring the comfort that we need. You'll bring all the things, whatever happens, if he lives another 100 years or if he dies, very soon. I trust you. I trust my track record with you. This isn't catching you by surprise. Recognizing that he will do what he says he's going to do. He won't leave us. He won't forsake us. He hasn't forgotten us. And I think it's just so beautiful because we know we can have joy when it doesn't depend on circumstances, but it rests in his ability to handle things. And we don't have to figure it out. It's like, oh, take a deep breath. We don't have to figure it out. He's there with us. He's there in the anxiety and the fear and the pain. He can handle this. Could I get the prayer team to come forward? And Shannon, will you definitely come too? I know what some of you are going through in your life, and it's probably some of the darkest season of your life. And to think like, oh yeah, go have joy. That makes me feel a little bit weird, but Paul tells us, in everything, always rejoice. And so I guess I just want to challenge you today about what does that look like? What does cultivating joy in your life look like when the situation feels hopeless? When I was sitting in Shannon's living room, it was kind of dark and bleary for what she was walking through. But here she is today, expressing God's goodness, declaring his faithfulness to her. How can you practice gratitude? How can you share testimonies of God's faithfulness to you? How can you be curious and remember God is bigger than your circumstances? How is he still going to be good? You're really struggling. How is he still going to be good? I'd love for us to just take a minute and just ask him that. We'll just take a quiet minute or two and just, Jesus, how are you still good? How are you going to show up and meet me in this situation? So I would like to encourage you today to come for prayer. Specifically, if you need help in these three areas, come and just ask the Lord to meet you. If you need encouragement, if you need prayer to be able to take the next step in the hard thing, come and just receive from the Lord. He is our joy. He is strength through joy, and he wants to meet you today. So Jesus, I ask that today as we're considering this particular fruit, that you would speak to us. Lord, if joy comes easy, that you would just make it even easier and just like crazy weirdo joy people. Like let us be known for our joy. And for those of us that have to work and practice harder, I ask that you'd give us new insights into what that looks like, new ways, and just remind us of your goodness. God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Say amen. So come get prayer. Definitely take advantage of Shannon and Joshua, the joy weirdos up here. I love it. They are here to pray and bless you. Thank you, guys.